Well, just how critical is this election really? And what should our perspective be as followers of Jesus?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is one day before the elections, and I want you to do a little gut check with me, something that might help examine your spiritual perspective. I did it for myself last night. That's our focus. We as the people of God, where do we stand? What is God calling us to do? As I've been saying repeatedly for for many weeks, months, and years, as important as the elections are, there's something much more important, and that is the state of the people of God. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us, and those who are back to listening after being taken out of commission and struggling for days with Hurricane Sandy, welcome back to those that are getting back to listening to us. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I have a special guest that's going to be joining me in a couple of minutes. And the reason that we're talking today, the day before the election, is because there are a lot of larger issues involved that we're dealing with. In other words, it's not a conflict, in my view, between Republicans and Democrats, and it's not a conflict primarily over the state of the economy or even American security. As important as these things are, there are fundamental moral and spiritual issues. There are fundamental biblical principles. And if they get undermined or attacked, it affects everything else. And I want to speak in particular to my listeners in Greater Maryland. I know many of you listening on WAVA right now in the greater suburbs of D.C., well into Maryland. And then listening in some other states where there is a marriage amendment on the line or a vote on marriage. In Maryland right now, the vote is one that you would vote against. In other words, if you live in Maryland, there is an effort to redefine marriage. There is an effort to say that marriage is genderless. There is an effort to say, ultimately, that mothers and fathers are really no different. That being the case, it is important on biblical principles to vote against that in Maryland. There are major votes in Minnesota and Washington as well. But what you need to understand is this is not just about marriage. This affects many, many other areas in society. This affects even fundamental issues having to do with God's creation, with his distinctives between male and female, with what he has ordained for the family. So there is actually a situation now, and these are becoming increasingly common, but this is a blatant one that's been getting a lot of coverage. A man in his 40s who identifies as a woman and dresses as a woman at a particular college has the right to use the women's bathroom, locker room, etc. And according to reports, he has exposed himself in the presence of children who also use that locker room, girls who also use that locker room because it's a shared facility for other purposes and things like that. So if the kids were going swimming or whatever, they'd be using the same locker room. And the college said, well, it's fine for him to be there because he identifies as a woman. I'm not attacking this human being who needs help, someone for whom Jesus died, who is obviously deeply confused and perhaps openly, willingly flaunting and sinning. But this much we know. When you go the direction America is going, this type of insanity becomes the norm. And it is insanity. I'm not saying the person is insane. I'm saying the practice is. We'll be joined by Brad Dawkins from the Pacific Justice Institute, who can shed some light on this and help our voters in Maryland and other states know why it is so important to stand for righteousness.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My guest, Brad Dacus, mispronounced his name the first time around. I think he was so polite that he didn't correct me on a previous time on the air. Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. He's in the midst of some critically important cases, one in California with SB 1172, which makes it illegal, yes, illegal, for a minor, even with parental consent, with unwanted same-sex attractions, to get professional counseling and help. Mm-hmm. Passed in California, signed by Governor Jerry Brown. That's what happens, friends. And another case that I just mentioned where a man who identifies as a woman and dresses as such has been accused of exposing himself to the presence of girls and women in the locker room, the female locker room that he uses. The college says it's just fine. 866-34-TRUTH. Brad, on this day before the elections, did I just make all this up? Is this from some other world or planet, or are these things actually taking place in America, sir?
Yeah, they are taking place in America, and they're taking place just as you said them. You didn't exaggerate one jot or tittle on either of those two. And I think that and so many people in the country think it, they look around, they think everything's going fine. Well, the bottom line that I want them to get from this is that what may seem fine now is coming down, is not going to be fine later unless we're able to address this and stop it. But it's coming to a county and a state if we're not successful.
Yeah, and this is not something that's a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is something that's a family issue, a righteousness issue, for followers of Jesus, a biblical issue. And tell us, Brad, about this case with the college campus and the shared locker room and this man who identifies as a woman. It's gotten a little bit more reporting than other cases like this around the country, obviously because it's gone further with this man exposing himself. But again, we've got family listeners, all this, but I think we can speak plainly enough about this case because it's unfolding in front of our eyes.
Yes, this gentleman, he's a transsexual. I mean, he hasn't had a surgery, but he says in his mind he's a woman. Now, this is a mental illness. I want to make it really clear. The DSM-4 or DMS-4 makes it very clear that that for you to feel you're another gender identity than what you are, that is an actual mental illness that hospitals like John Hopkins and many others refuse to treat with physical medication or as far as surgeries. They've totally debunked that because it doesn't solve the symptoms of this mental illness of depression, anxiety, and other things like that. So it's a mental illness, okay? This isn't something someone was naturally born with. And so they, this gentleman, he decides to go in and use this locker room. Now, this locker room, mind you, is used for people in the college, the local community college. I use it, actually, not even just the college, also the high school would use this, and kids with participating in athletic programs. And so he decides to go in and use the women's locker room, not the men's, the women's locker room. And he's there and he's taking a shower I want to not word this inappropriately for the audience, but so he's there and some women are there and they act like women should, which is, what's going on here? And, you know, yelled and call the police, and as it turns out, there's no criminal charges that are going to be brought against this man because this state has passed a law that gives special protection to people because with regard to their gender identity. Specifically, it says your gender is what you yourself perceive it to be, and therefore if you say you're a woman, even though you obviously look like a man, we're going to treat you like a woman, and we expect everyone else to treat you like a woman, even if that means showering with you in a locker room.
Right, and this is now the right that has to be defended. This is when people say, well, what does it matter? And look, here are two men that really love each other, two women really love each other, they want to be married, they want to have a family, aren't we being bigoted and hateful to stand against it? Well, one thing we say is that God didn't design men to be with men, women to be with women. Another thing we say is that a mother can't father and a father can't mother, so that you don't want to put a kid in a situation where he's guaranteed to have neither father nor mother. But the other thing is that once you start doing these things, then you have to now accept, well, this person has a right, this person has a right, because they perceive this, they feel that, and things get turned completely on their head. Brett, I remember doing an interview one time on a secular station, and a guy called in and said, well, what about the right of that transgender woman, a man who identifies as a woman, to use the women's bathroom? And I said, what about the rights of the women? You've got an individual who's troubled and has issues that we want to see him get help for, but now you're going to trounce everyone else's rights to the point that the college says, okay, it's fine, you've got girls. You're not even talking about older women, but you've got girls, you've got minors that are in a women's locker room about a man who is openly naked as a man, and the college says that's fine. How in the world did we get to the point where people actually think like this?
It's very twisted. It is very, very twisted, and it's illogical when you think about it. I mean, these women have privacy rights. Should they be violated like that while they're taking a shower? A man to come in and who is anyway? So I think that is very, very twisted, and also it's also very lacking of compassion for us to legitimize that which is harmful to people, to elevate and recognize that which is harmful to people. I mean, we in our society today have a lot of freedom and liberties. Men, if they want to dress like a woman, can. Men who want to engage in relationships with other men, they have that freedom. Same with women. So it's not an issue of civil rights. What is an issue is this promoting the general welfare? That's whenever we talk about government raising up and lifting up and certifying things as domestic unions or whatever, then we have to ask ourselves, does this promote the general welfare? Because that's the question government should ask with regard to their actions. And if you look at the policies, the ramifications on people's lives who go down these trails, it's very dark. I mean, it's better to be a chain smoker health-wise than statistically be someone who is engaged in the same sexual lifestyle. I'm not saying that to be cold. I'm just saying to be compassionate. We have to look at what it is and have compassion and love, speak up and saying, this is not something that we should be promoting as part of our government.
Now, Brad, we have large listening audience in Maryland. We're in states across America, but one of our largest listening audiences is in the greater D.C. area. And, of course, there's a vote now on marriage. And interestingly, although it seemed that polls some months ago favored that marriage would be redefined by voters, there's been a shift, and it's been led by Black Christian pastors and congregants who are saying, we are not going to redefine marriage. Perhaps many of them will vote for President Obama again. I don't know about that, but they're clearly saying we will not see marriage redefined. We've got about a minute before the break, but could you speak to our listeners in Greater Maryland about the importance of this vote in terms of drawing a line in the sand?
Yeah, they have no idea what awaits them if they go down this track. In California, we have all this new legislation that's been passed. Redwood Heights Elementary School in Oakland, for example, because of this new rights mentality, brought in transsexuals to speak to kindergartners and first graders how they can be a boy on the outside and be a girl on the inside, and that's okay. And what it does is it invites confusion into our public schools. We massively have it being distributed now in California schools. And if homosexual role models are mandated by state statute, to be in all textbooks, in all history and social science textbooks, K through 12 grades in California by 2014. So don't think for one minute this is just a matter of people doing their thing. This is a legitimacy that will translate into education, impacting our children and their children, and leading many down a path of death and destruction, which is something we should, out of love and compassion, not be silent about.
Got it. Very, very clear. And friends, if you care about the future of your children and the world in which they will be raised, this vote is critically important. Okay, we come back. I want to talk briefly about what's happened in California with SB 1172 and some very important work that Brad Dacus is involved with. We want to give out some websites to you as well. Stay tuned. And then I'm going to read the Decree for America. See what you think about that. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me say plainly, friends, that whoever is elected, we still need a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. God's people being changed into the image of Jesus and going out and changing our world. 866-34-TRUTH. Brad, as you are working with the Pacific Justice Institute and leading that, I know that your heart is deeply for the Lord, and that these are spiritual, moral issues to you before they are political issues. Could you just share your perspective? I've been blessed to read things you've written and comments you've made. I've found you to always be gracious, even under fire. But it is your faith in Jesus that fuels everything you're doing, is it not?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. And my worldview is what impacts so much of what I do, and having a Christian worldview and a Christian purpose for existence is very fundamental into what I'm doing. And it's really exciting when you realize there's so much more in life to be living than just for yourself. It's that God has something far above that.
Yeah, and not sure if you're. Did we lose you there, Brad? Hello.
No. I was. Okay. No, I'm here. Sorry. I should have had more of a drop off in my voice. You knew I was done.
Oh no.
Sorry.
That's all right. Whether it's a phone connection, you never know. I didn't want to be rude and cut you off, Brad. Before we just discuss briefly what's happened in California with SB 1172, what are some websites or the best website to go to follow some of the important work that you're doing?
Oh, sure. One website is of course pacificjustice.org or pji.org. Get the members there as well for Pacific Justice Institute, pji.org. There they can sign up to get our press releases, our case updates, which are very important. Also, if they want to, of course, support our ministry, they can do that as well as a 501c3 charity. And then if they need assistance, they should give us a call. We have roughly 1,000 volunteer affiliate attorneys nationwide, over 500 just in California alone. Going to bat for people of faith, churches, families, on all kinds of issues. And we're sort of unique that we don't just take on high-profile cases. We really work hard to make sure that no one is left on the side of the road when it comes to issues of faith, family, and freedom. Also, there's a new website that's been created that we've worked with called choosecharity.org. And that is, I know there's many of your listeners out there who are part of a union. And they know that their union has been is supporting issues and propositions and candidates that clearly violate the holy word of God. And issues like, you know, homosexual marriage, for example. And they really are disturbed by having to support that kind of union. Well, the good news, they go to choosecharity.org, choosecharity.org, in three easy steps. They fill out, they answer some questions, and they can have all their union dues from now on, every penny, not just the political part, but all of it, permanently diverted to a charity that's doing that they believe in, and that's a part of their faith and their convictions. Like your radio program, for example, they could choose that. So I encourage them to go to choosecharity.org. If you're in a position, you see your union doing unrighteousness, and you want to stand up for that and say, I want no longer any of my dues to go to the union. I want all to go to a charity. You're protected under Title VII. It applies to all 50 states, every union worker in America, and I encourage them to go to choosecherry.org.
Wonderful. That's incredible to know. We've got to spread the word on that. That's massive. Brad, we're short on time, but you have challenged SB 1172 in the courts, the bill that Governor Jerry Brown has now signed that will be effective January 1st that will make it illegal for a minor, even with parental consent. If this person has unwanted same-sex attractions and wants to go to professional counseling to help with that, it will be illegal. Of course, if they want to go to a counselor to be affirmed in their homosexuality, that would be fine. Where does that stand right now with the courts?
Yeah, well, we at Pacific Justice Institute have filed a lawsuit in federal court to challenge that. We're seeking an injunction. It hasn't gone to hearing yet. If we're not successful, it goes into effect January 1st. And make no mistake, the proponents of this are already announcing that they're going to be moving on other states. Maryland, I'm sure, is up there on the list, and along with others, to promote this. And it's really sick because even if parents don't affirm a child, it's very common for kids in early adolescence to have some struggles oftentimes with same-sex identity and gender identity to some degree. Well, some 14-year-old boy or girl says, you know, I think I feel this way. My school teacher said that this must be what I am. If parents don't affirm it and they try to have counseling or share the scriptures, if they don't affirm it, under California law, this new law, that lack of affirmation is deemed rejection and grounds for determination of child abuse and permanent removal of the child from the family under California law. That is how sick and preposterous this legislation, this new law is. And that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute are stopping it. It even applies to pastors who are licensed counselors. Their hands are tied by this law, by this statute as well. See, they can't give counseling to kids under 18 who are struggling with same-sex attraction.
Incredible. Friends, this is the ultimate assault on freedom of speech, conscience, and religion. And we've warned of these things for years now. As they're unfolding, it's too late to be on the sidelines. We need to pray. We need to act with compassion towards those struggling, and we need to stand up for what is right. Brad, thanks so much for being with us, and I'm confident with you. Go ahead.
One more quick point, and that is, just as a side note, when this was in the legislature and the Assembly and the State Senate, it was passed unanimously by one party, and the other party voted unanimously against it. The pro-family party stands for, you know, and the other party unanimously for it. So it has a serious backing by one of the two major political parties, and I, for that reason, see this as very, very relevant for people who live in Maryland because I know the politics of Maryland. So I think that's very important for people.
Right. So in fact, it was Republicans who voted against it, Democrats who voted for it. Brad, keep up the good work. And in God's perspective, there are more for us than against us. Thank you so much, sir.
Amen. Thank you. Keep it up. Thanks.
All right. God bless you. All right, friends, we've got a lot more to cover in the next hour and a half. So please continue to listen wherever you are, getting out of your car, going to your place of work, in front of your computer. Go online, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire. Catch us later today, and you can listen to all 2 hours. And a quick gut check question, then I'll read the Decree of America later in the broadcast. If you are planning to vote or have voted for Obama, what would happen if Romney was elected? How would you feel? If you have voted or are planning on voting for Romney and Obama was elected, how would you feel? I want to encourage you to ultimately have your faith in God and have his perspective, which is more about advancing the gospel, more about that than a particular candidate, although the election is critical. Friends, we're going to have a very special interview on Thursday with Professor Michael Redelnik focusing on messianic prophecy. He's written a really important book on messianic prophecy, and we've put together a special package, his book on the messianic hope, the interview that we'll do together on the radio, and then added in addition, the two-hour DVD, two-set DVD of my debate with Rabbi Shmuley on Sid Roth's broadcast, all for $30, and we'll pay the postage. The Messianic Prophecy special resource offer. Call the order, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore.
Hey.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Some of you may have your blood boiling after my interview with Brad Dacus. What he stated was true and accurate and careful. There was nothing overstated. It was stated from the vantage point of a Christian attorney, meaning he will be legally precise and he will be speaking the truth as a follower of Jesus. We must stand for righteousness, friends. We must stand for what is right. If we don't, we have to apologize to our kids and to our grandkids. And the issues that we're talking about today are issues that many of us never planned to be involved with, never wanted to be involved with, but have been called right into the middle of by what is happening in society. I imagine that there were plenty of Americans living in the days of slavery that did not plan on giving their lives over that battle, did not plan on losing everything because they stood up for what was right, but they had to. Conscience called them to. And today as well, we have massive moral issues before us. Look, if I had been called to focus more on the issue of abortion, you'd be hearing about that even more from me. Thankfully, there are many, many, many voices standing up for the life of the unborn. I'm one of them, but I'm a very small voice in comparison on that. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the phones, let me read the decree for America. Tell me if you agree with this. Tell me if you say amen to this. We, the people of the United States of America, with heartfelt conviction and respect for our Constitution, do humbly submit this decree for America. Number one, life. We decree that human life possesses intrinsic dignity from the moment of conception until death. We decree that life begins at conception and a baby in the womb is a living soul. We refute the culture of death established by Roe v. Wade and the expansion of such culture by current laws that legalize abortion on demand and any stage of pregnancy. We further refute the implication that all Americans be required to invest their tax dollars in the slaughter of unborn children. Furthermore, we refute the ideology that encourages euthanasia, thereby erasing those who have been deemed to have lives not worth living. We decree that God has entrusted us as his guardians and agents to protect life. Number two, family. We decree that marriage is between a man and a woman exclusively. We proclaim and decree that marriage laws in America will always adhere to the biblical worldview that marriage is a holy covenant before God between a man and a woman committed to lifelong fidelity and purity. As people of faith, we refute the movement to redefine marriage as simply a romantic relationship between people, and we refute maneuvers to secure equal treatment under law for same-sex couples. Marriage is a monogamous relationship with a core value of procreation. We support the first commandment in the Bible given to a husband and wife that they should produce fruit through bearing and raising children. We decree that marriage laws in America will not include unions other than those between a man and a woman. Number three, an undivided Israel. We declare that the land of Israel shall not be divided. Out of heartfelt conviction, we passionately support the Jewish state of Israel and see in it God's promise and fulfillment of the covenant between the Jewish people and the land itself. We proclaim that Jerusalem has always been the holy and anointed spot of Jewish history, and we declare it will always be the indivisible capital of Israel. We decree that never again shall the Jewish people forfeit their land and their city. We decree that we cannot support a so-called right of return by Arabs into Israel designed to demographically denude Israel as a Jewish state and culturally and religiously transform it from a free society into one under Sharia and absolutist control. To ensure Jerusalem's survival, we strongly, without equivocation, endorse a policy that leaves Israel in a stronger military position against her manifold surrounding enemies. As with our forebears, we remain biblical Zionists who recognize the merit of being participants of Israel's ingathering of her exiles and the rebirth of the biblical land. That is a decree for America that has been put out by Coalition of Believers across the land. I wonder if that speaks your heart as well. We come back, I want to take your calls, and again, I'm going to do my best to point us in a kingdom direction in the closing hours before the election.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I expect that Mitt Romney will be elected with a sizable majority in the Electoral College based on a lot of things I've read, but I could be dead wrong, could be totally wrong. He could win slightly, or he could lose slightly, or he could lose by a landslide. Either way, my heart is fixed that the solution to America's problems is not in the White House, it is in the church. It is in the church as we wake up, it is in the church as we repent of our own sins, it is in the church as we wholeheartedly follow Jesus, it is in the church as we determine that what matters most is not so much the well-being of America, but the advancing of the Great Commission, the advancing of God's kingdom, which, of course, will ultimately be for the well-being of America. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, 866-34-TRUTH, with your questions or your comments. But I saw a note on the Ask Dr. Brown page earlier today where someone wrote and said, I used to respect your opinions, Dr. Brown, but your Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page has just become a political forum, so I'm dropping out. Well, of course, folks are, you know, thousands of places to go and not go online. That's fine. But I found it curious, in light of my bottom line on Friday, which was the last post that we had put up, quote, this is me. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The biggest issue in this important election is not who we appoint as our president. Rather, it is what we will do as believers to get right with God, pursue the Great Commission, be disciples, and make disciples. That will impact America's future. That, of course, is my focus, my burden, my vision. And politics are important, but they are completely, completely secondary to the Great Commission, completely secondary to us living out the gospel in our society, which is holistic. Yes, it is holistic. But that's what it ultimately comes down to. The battle is between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. The division is ultimately between God's people and the people of the world. And there are God's people who are Republican and Democrat and independent, and there are people of the world who are Republican, Democrat, independent. However it skews, whatever the division is, I'm just making a broad statement. So we as God's people need to unite around biblical truth and live that out. Will it affect the way we vote? Of course it will. Of course it will. But that is secondary to the larger issue of the state of the church. I can't underscore that enough. 866-34-TRUTH. Monica in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi. When you had the conversation with the gentleman previously about what would be the consequence of the parent.
Yes.
That they would have to have their children taken away because of child abuse charges if they didn't affirm that. My initial feeling was, what in the world? I mean, I was just angry because my daughter went through that when she was a teenager, and so I would have had her taken away from me because I would not have affirmed her in that. And we did seek counseling for her. But then as I sat here and listened, and I just was thinking about it, and just the Lord was dealing with my heart, is that, you know, He's the one that delivered her out of the pit. So now, just last night, I had a conversation with her. She's been on her own now. She's 21 and doing some counseling of her own, for her own self, to just allow the Lord to show her how this all happened. And one of the things she shared with me was how the Lord is showing her what her name really meant, you know, because I've really been, the Lord has been impressing on me how He gives us our names, and even though the parents think they give their kids their names, the Lord names them. And my daughter's name is Lily, and Lily means purity, and then there's so many scriptures that she was telling me that the Lord was showing her. So the Lord is ultimately the one that delivers us, but I don't think people realize. I mean, my friend, who her family lives in Syria, I just heard her, she just spoke about it, and she said one of the things that just impressed me was that the people in Syria, if you would have ever asked them 10 years ago if this would be happening in their country, and they would have said resoundingly no, because it was peaceful and prosperous and comfortable, and now it's like it is, but through it, through the persecution, is coming revival. And so where it's coming to America, we think that it's not, but it is, and it's starting, you know, through the moral decay. And but the Lord is faithful to save, even through judgment and through punishment, revival is going to come.
And, so, and Monica, let me just ask this, though, as you're speaking about the individual situation with your daughter and then about the nation. And, of course, I agree with what you're saying about the nation, that it's often through shaking and hardship that awakening comes, and often in times of peace and prosperity that we fall asleep. But what happened with your own daughter, how old was she when she started going through struggles about her sexual identity?
She was in when I found out about it, it was ninth grade. So it could have been maybe eighth grade, maybe.
Oh, okay. So what, she was about 13, 14 years old at that point, or 15 maybe?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you're saying that God worked in her life and she's experienced real change.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing change.
And see, the deal is that many kids at that age question aspects of their sexual identity when they're surrounded now by a culture and by educators that tell them, no, no, it's fine. If you're same-sex attracted, that's who you really are, or experiment with bisexuality, or, hey, if you think you're a boy trapped in a girl's body, you really are a boy, and we need to call you by a boy's name, and you need to use the boy's bathroom, and so on, that when that environment encourages it, and then you've got all the messages coming through the popular media, it's going to add to that kid's confusion. Now when you outlaw the ability for professionals to counsel that person or interact with them, it's really criminal. And think of it that we know, say, that there are women who identify as lesbians today who were raped and abused by men, and it produced a hatred towards and a mistrust of men, and that fed into their lesbianism. This is well documented. It may not be the majority of people or everyone, but it certainly happened many times. Or you've got boys that were sexually abused as boys, and out of that, same-sex attraction developed. We've heard this from many, many, many. I mean, thousands upon thousands. That would mean then, let's say you have a kid that's sexually abused, a girl who's sexually abused by a man, or a boy who's sexually abused by a man, and it brings confusion into their sexual identity or their attitude towards the opposite sex, and this kid needs help, counsel on a professional level, to make it illegal for that person to have it, unless they went for counseling that would say, no, 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 give in to these same-sex desires and attractions and embrace them, and that's who you really are. It's criminal and it's perverse, and it is the law in California. By God's grace, it'll be struck down and challenged and overthrown. There are attempts now to get it in New Jersey and other states as well. And we need to recognize the extreme danger of this, the real threat to the well-being of kids and families, the real threat to religious freedoms and freedom of conscience and speech. And Monica, it is important, though, to remember that ultimately the great life changer is the Lord himself. Yes. And as we look to him and recognize that through prayer and God's Spirit working, change can come, we'll have our greatest hope. But one last question for you, Monica. When you were in this difficult situation as a mom, you want to be loving, you want to affirm your daughter as your daughter without affirming sexual identity confusion she might be going through, how important in your life was private prayer or getting other people to pray for her as well?
It was the thing. It was. It's now that I look back, of course, you always have 20/20 vision. I did so many things wrong through all of that, but there was the one thing I did right was I. There was nights I would roll out onto the floor on my face before the Lord, crying out from the heart of my daughter, for the soul of my daughter, for the salvation of her. And I had women, faithful women, praying for her, battling at the throne of God for her. And so, and even unbelievers, Dr. Brown, even an unbelieving principal at the school, assistant principal, who he knew that it wasn't right, but he, because he was an educator, he couldn't say it. But the Lord used him as an instrument to call me. I would pray this. I'd pray this. Reveal to me, Lord, what I need to know this day. And the telephone would ring, and that principal would be calling me to tell me, we caught her doing whatever, or you might want to come up to the school. Things of that nature. So the Lord even used the ones that didn't really believe what I believe.
Yeah, and Monica, we've got a break here, but I wanted people to hear that. Taking refuge in God, crying out to God, looking to God, heart, soul, mind, strength. He's our only hope. When we do that, he doesn't fail us. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-34-TRUTH. May I remind you of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, wrote? The ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. And there are decisions that we make day by day in the Lord that affect not just our lives, but the next generation. I was reading in the Word late last night about King Hezekiah and what a godly king he was and how he went after the Lord, beginning in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, and how he greatly removed idolatry from the land. I was stirred as I was reading that to realize how, when I think of Hezekiah, my first instinct, my first impulse is not to think that positively about him. So I was trying to adjust this in my thinking. I was trying to adjust this in my mindset and attitude. And I was asking myself, okay, why is it that my first thought towards Hezekiah is not as glowing as the biblical text pronounced? And I knew the answer before I asked it. It's because of the book of Isaiah, chapter 39, where Hezekiah is visited by envoys from Babylon after he recovered from his illness. He was sick unto the point of death, and God had mercy on him and gave him 15 more years. And these envoys came from Babylon. Why were they visiting him? Well, presumably to talk about their common enemy, Assyria, and how they could stand against that common enemy. Without Hezekiah realizing that just a few generations down the line, Babylon would be the great enemy and Assyria would not be the big enemy anymore, and that Judah would go into captivity to Babylon. So he kind of gives them a tour of the riches of the kingdom, and Isaiah says, what'd you show these men? Well, basically everything. And Isaiah says to him, what'd you do? These are enemies. These are pagan people. What did you do? And do you understand that we're going to go into exile to them, and some of your own children or grandchildren will serve as eunuchs there? And Hezekiah, remarkably, this man who was a great man of God, who was one of the greatest kings in Judah's history, an exceptional man in many ways, says, well, the word of the Lord is good because there'll be peace and safety in my days. Wow. Wow. I find that to be one of the most painful statements from any godly man or woman preserved for us in Scripture. But it's a mentality that's all too pervasive among us. Either, well, things are so bad, this must be the last generation, Jesus will be here any minute, in which case we don't have to think about kids, grandkids, future generations. Or, not as directly and more selfishly, well, I'm okay. I mean, I'm okay right now. I'm making it, and I'm not going to live to be 1,000 anyway. So as long as it's okay for me, I can't really worry about my kids and grandkids. I can't really think about what's going to happen to them. What a horrifically ungodly attitude. And yet some of us may not articulate that, but that's the way we live. And because of that, we're not thinking generationally. Friends, I'm not focused primarily on the elections. I'm focused primarily on how we live. Yes, the election is important, And yes, America is going in very dangerous directions, but more important than the elections, I want to say again, must be the awakening in our own lives. Now, look, I told you that I think Mr. Romney will be elected president. And obviously, you got folks saying both things. I'm not prophesying. I'm not saying the Lord told me. Just based on a lot of things happening in terms of how polls are evaluating and so on, I think he'll be elected. Let's say he's not. Let's say President Obama's elected. And let's say he continues to advocate policies he's advocating that I feel are terribly destructive to America. That could be just what the church needs. No, I wouldn't vote for him for that purpose. No, I couldn't vote for him in conscience. And if I vote for my vote tomorrow for Mr. Romney is with reservation and concern. But please hear me. The greatest question in God's sight is not a patriotic question in terms of America. It's a question in terms of the advancing of the kingdom of God. It's a question in terms of people coming to know Jesus and becoming disciples and living as disciples. That's the issue that is set before us. That's the issue that concerns us. And once more, friends, if we put all of our energy into the election, instead of putting all of our energy into seeking God and crying out for him, to him for his fullness in our lives, and repenting of known areas of sin, and then seeking to be witnesses in our neighborhood and examples of what it means to follow Jesus in our neighborhood, we're putting our energies in the wrong place. No, it's not either or, it's a matter of priorities. What are your priorities in life? Are they about knowing Jesus and making him known? Or are they about primarily just having a bigger and better life, a bigger and better house, a bigger and better career, a bigger and better education, a bigger and better TV screen, a bigger and better whatever? Or is your priority, I want to know the Lord and make him known. And whatever it takes to most greatly advance the kingdom of God in me and through me and in this generation, that's what I live for. And ultimately, yes, it all comes down to who Jesus is and our relationship to him. For those of you who love the Word of God, for those of you who love to study the Scriptures, we have a wonderfully important book. We've never offered it on the air before, and we're going to have the author of this book on later in the week, Professor Michael Rudelnik, talking about the Messianic hope. He's written a really important book about Messianic prophecy. Does the Bible really speak of a promised Messiah? Did the biblical authors consciously say that there would be this Messiah would come? Is it really Jesus? It's a book for serious students of the Word, and we've put together a package that'll save you about $15. The book by Michael Rudelnik on the Messianic hope, plus the CD of our interview that we will do on this on Thursday, plus the 2-DVD set of my debate with Rabbi Shmuley, moderated by Sid Roth, on who is the real kosher Jesus. About $45 of material, including postage, $30 postage paid. A great, great resource package on Messianic prophecy. 1-800-278-9978 to order. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our website if that's easier for you. Just click on askdrbrown.org. And right on the online bookstore, when you click on that, you will see right there, the special offer for today, and you can order it online. Or again, call 1-800-278-9978. Great time to be praying for us as we are on the front lines of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution here on the Line of Fire. As by God's grace, we're making an impact in America and around the world as our grads are preaching Jesus, lifting him up, and putting first things first. My bottom line today: when you read the Scriptures, you do not find a distinction between Republicans and Democrats. You find a distinction between the people of God and the people of the world. You find a distinction between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Let us cast our allegiance to the kingdom of God. Well, just how critical is this election really? And what should our perspective be as followers of Jesus?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this day before the elections here on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Anything you want to talk to me about concerning the elections, be my guest to call. Anything where you want to challenge any of my perspective, be my guest to call and weigh in. The bigger question that we are discussing, the bigger question that we are looking at today is our role as believers in society. How important is our role in the elections? How important is our vote? How politically involved should we be? Recent weeks, pastors spoke out plainly about the elections, spoke out plainly and said that they were voting particular ways and basically told the IRS, go ahead and challenge our tax-exempt status as we do. And the IRS did not, or has not yet. So some Christian leaders are saying it's time for Christian leaders to be more outspoken politically. And hey, after all, that's what advanced the American Revolution. That's what advanced the very origins of our country as its own country, and our revolt against Great Britain was preachers preaching from the pulpit about liberty and freedom and challenging the control of the British. Some say, well, that was wrong. That's why America's messed up, because we were founded on rebellion. Yeah, there are Christian leaders who believe that. We were founded on rebellion and revolt. Others say, no, that's the role of the clergy. Others say, well, it was right then, but it's not right today. That's a whole other interesting question in terms of the American Revolution, the role of the clergy in it. But today, what's right, what's wrong? Where should we stand? Where should our energies go? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Bottom line for me is this. Our priorities must be in line with God's priorities. Our priorities must be in line with everything ultimately coming down to relationship with Jesus and how we live in this world to the glory of God the Father. Everything must come down ultimately to not how does this affect the economy, not how does this affect American security, not how does this affect the stock market, not how does this affect 1,000 other issues which are important, some more important than others, but they are undoubtedly important. You talk about economy, ultimately you're talking about some people suffering a lot and hopefully suffering less with an improved economy. We're not just talking about the rich getting richer. When we talk about American security, we're talking about American lives and perhaps the lives of others in other nations. These are important topics, but they're not the number one. What's the number one topic? Well, in that sense, to speak in human terms, what makes God's heart beat the most? What is it? Is it the elections? Is it who gets in the White House or the Congress? Or is it the Great Commission? Is it living out the gospel? Look, isn't it? I'll ask a question. I won't be that rhetorical. Is it overly simplistic to say that if those in America who profess to know Jesus really knew him and really walked with him and led other people to the Lord and helped those people really know him and walk with him, is it too simple to say that America would look radically, totally different than it lives today? Is that rocket science or advanced prophetic insight?
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you on this day before the elections. I want to encourage you, as I did my listeners the last hour, to do a little gut check, to do a little spiritual, emotional gut check, and ask yourself a question. Let's say you're in the camp that believes that you can't vote for a Mormon, and to have Mitt Romney in the White House would be a disaster because of his religious and spiritual beliefs, etc. And you are either not voting at all, you're voting for President Obama despite reservations. How would you feel if Mitt Romney was elected? How would you feel if he was elected? What would be your emotional state, your mental state, your faith state? Conversely, if you are one of those who feels it would be disastrous to reelect Barack Obama, that Mitt Romney will stand morally and economically and internationally for many of the values that you uphold, and that you're not voting for him to be pastor or voting for him to be priest or pope, but rather to be president, and you're really trusting that he's going to win and that Barack Obama will be defeated. What if Barack Obama was elected? What would happen to your mindset? What would happen to your attitude? What would be your emotional state if Barack Obama was reelected? I asked myself those questions last night, because just based on what I've read, my suspicion, expectation is that Mitt Romney will win with a sizable amount of the Electoral College. Again, not a prophetic word and not with inside information, just surmising what I've seen out there. But I said, what if I'm wrong? And if I'm wrong and Barack Obama's reelected, and if he continues to put forth policies that would be completely contradictory to biblical values and even other American values, then my mentality would be, okay, all the more do we put our trust where it needs to be, and that is in Jesus and the church awakening. And yet, we have a role in these elections, and the question is, what is that role? I'm joined by Tammy Fitzgerald. She has been a leader in North Carolina in Value Voters Coalition and joining Christians together to vote according to biblical values. Tammy, this is a super busy time for you, but thanks for joining us on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's nice to be with you.
Tammy, the stands that you've taken for marriage, for family, for righteousness, they've been a little costly at times, haven't they?
Well, yes. But, you know, it's nice to share in the suffering of Christ as well as the resurrection of Christ.
So from your perspective, the opposition that you're getting, even a very ugly ad that was put out that could stir hostility, in your mind, this is part of suffering for the gospel. In other words, this is not a political thing to you as much as a Christian thing to you?
Well, it's spiritual warfare whenever you're attacked for speaking about righteousness and truth. And so I realize that people who speak the untruth are not the real enemy here.
Right. And that's where we need to keep our focus. So, Tammy, bottom line, simple, we've got believers who are regular people in the society. We hear the news, we hear the broadcast, the liberal, the conservative, the ads, they can get our blood boiling. Should we maybe just drop out of the process, just pray, let others vote, we just pray, and not get embroiled in all the controversy and the divisions between Republican and Democrat? I mean, do we actually have a role in the elections? Maybe we should just be kind of like heavenly in our mentality and let the world take care of the world.
Well, I think it's up to Christians to make sure that the leaders who represent biblical values are elected. I mean, after all, if Christians are not concerned about these issues enough to vote, then who will be? And if we don't participate in the public square and in the public arena, then certainly someone else's values will be implemented. And so it's up to us as Christians to get out and vote. You know, we had about 250,000 Christians who did not vote in North Carolina in the last presidential election. And Obama won the state that year by 14,000 votes. So imagine how different the landscape would be if Christians got out and voted this time.
All right, so you're assuming then that Christians should be voting and having influence. We know how divisive politics can be. Help us think this through in ways that are not Republican, Democrat, but more kingdom and biblical. Give us some guidelines as we go to vote.
Well, because Christians didn't vote in 2008, we have a national debt now that's $16 trillion instead of $10 trillion. I don't think it's biblical to pile up debt on the shoulders of our children. Because Christians didn't vote in the last presidential election, we now have a government that is not only declaring the defense of marriage unconstitutional and refusing to enforce it, but we have a president who has said he believes same-sex marriage should be legalized. Because Christians didn't vote in the last election, we now have lifted the conscience protections for healthcare workers. Because Christians didn't vote, we now have a mandate from our government that every business, including religious charities and Catholic institutions like hospitals and universities, has to provide free birth control for their employees through their health care plans, and not only birth control, but also sterilization and abortion-inducing drugs. So as Christians, our biblical values are being eroded right before our very eyes, and our religious freedom is being taken away. And so if we don't get concerned enough to participate in the electoral process, then we are going to find ourselves in an increasingly hostile country in which we live.
All right, and without being Chicken Little in mentality and the sky is falling and so on, can you just give us your honest assessment? If the government, the nation, continues to go in the direction it's going, what things would look like for our kids or for our grandkids?
Well, I just saw the number. I was actually looking at the Drudge Report just a few minutes ago, and I think it's over $218,000 that every child under 18 now owes in our country. That's alarming. Mm. But we're also going to have a country where gay marriage is the law of the land. And as we know from other countries and from states who have legalized same-sex marriage, what happens when it's legal is that that becomes a superior right to our right to exercise our religious freedom. And so religious objections somehow dissipate, and we're no longer able as Christians to raise the objection that same-sex marriage violates our religion. So business owners and all kinds of private individuals have been told in other states where same-sex marriage is legal that they have to accept same-sex marriage regardless of their religious dissent. And so that's one of the things that will happen. We also have a culture now in our current administration that wants to expand abortion rights. You know, for the last probably decade, we've had administrations, both Republican and Democrat, who wanted to limit abortion. But now we have a president who wants to expand abortion. And so the budget, for instance, for 2013 takes out all funding for abstinence education, but fully funds Planned Parenthood. So these are the things we have to look forward to in the future if we're not involved.
All right, Tammy, I want to let you interact with a couple of callers. I know you've got a busy schedule today, but if we can get you to stay with us a few more minutes, I want to take some calls. Let's start right in our neck of the woods with Donna in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I am just confused on a particular area where I know Jesus in the New Testament, he speaks about looking out for the poor and things like that, and he really doesn't speak favorably about the rich, but it seems to me in our country that the rich or the Republicans are the ones who are really allowing religious freedom, and the Democrats, and based on what they're, passing, like gay marriage and things like that, are, claiming they're the ones who look out for the poor. So I'm just kind of confused on, you know, on that aspect of it, because, you know, I'm all about, you know, his laws protecting marriage and, you know, children and that, but yet he seems to not speak too favorably of the wealthy, which in this case, Mr. Romney is, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what, Tammy, I'll let you give your comments on that on the other side of the break. But Donna, let me just say this. There are plenty of wealthy people on the Democratic side, and you could well argue that the Democrats' encouragement of a welfare state has hurt the poor more than anything. In fact, there are black leaders that say the Democratic leadership has terribly hurt poor blacks in the last 4 years, and they're far worse now than 4 years ago. But we'll be back with Tammy's thoughts on this on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to repeat, friends, for those that don't know me well, the great focus on this broadcast is our kingdom perspective, what we're to do as followers of Jesus. And I've said repeatedly that the great problem in America is not so much what's happening in the White House, but what's happening in the church, although what's happening in government is important. And I don't identify with either party. My vote in recent years has been on the Republican side, but I don't identify with either party. I vote based on where I see values unfolding. Tammy Fitzgerald's on the front line of getting Christians to vote for biblical values in America. What's the website that folks can go to and get information from you?
ncvalues.org. That's N like North Carolina, values.org. And on our homepage, we have our values voter guide in the presidential race. So I would encourage you to go there and look at the issues. Compare President Obama to Mitt Romney on the issues. Compare the two-party platforms and then see some biblical references for each of those issues.
All right, Tammy, what about the concern the New Testament calls about care for the poor, and Mitt Romney himself is rich? Does the New Testament condemn people for being rich in general? Does it condemn people for being rich based on corruption and injustice? What's your response to that?
Well, I don't think the New Testament condemns people for being rich. We just talked about the verse yesterday in my Sunday school class. For the love of money is a root of all evil. It's not the root, it's a root. But it's the love of money, not having money. And so I don't think the issue here is the wealth of Mitt Romney. I think the issue here is the wealth or lack of wealth under the leadership of President Obama that he has created for the people he's leading. And I was just looking at a report put out by the Associated Press that the ranks of America's poor have swelled to almost 1 in 6 people last year, which is a new high. And as long as our unemployment has left millions of people struggling, and so our number of uninsured has edged up to 49.9 million. That's the biggest in more than 2 decades. And we have more people on food stamps and welfare now than we've had in many, many years. And our poverty rate has climbed to 15.1% in America. So the issue is not the poverty or the wealth of our leaders. The issue is how have they created poverty or created wealth in the people they're leading. And so far, Mr. Obama's record is lacking.
All right. Thanks, Tammy, for your perspective and for answering, Donna. Let's grab one more call. John in Pimelas Park, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Hi. I was listening to what you were saying about who to vote for. And I have the same concerns because I can't stand President Obama's stand on abortion and the gay marriage and all of that thing. And yet Mitt Romney is a Mormon in a cult. And it's really a quandary for me. I just voted early, not too long ago, and I voted for Mitt Romney because of his pro-life and because he more closely monitors or closely parallels the values that a real Christian has. He's not a real Christian, but he does have a lot of the many of the things that we do think of as Christians as far as what we'd like our country to go back to, which would be more of the family-oriented, giving the family more say over what happens with their daughters, for example, when it comes to getting contraceptives and things like that, or abortion.
Right. All right, John. Yeah, I'm just jumping in only for time's sake, but you are obviously reflecting the views and feelings of many of our listeners. Tammy, my vote for Mitt Romney is one with reservation and concern, because I'm not exactly I'm not confident of how he will govern and what values he really hold to and fight for. But the fact that he's a Mormon is of secondary concern to me. Your take on that, and then a final word of encouragement or exhortation to our listeners about voting. Go for it.
Well, I believe that Mitt Romney shares the same values that we as Christians share on many of the issues that the caller just recited: marriage, life, religious liberty. And I know that he has signed the National Organization for Marriage, their marriage pledge, stating that he'll defend the Defense of Marriage Act and will work toward a federal constitutional amendment to protect marriage. So I believe he'll honor his pledge on marriage. On the pro-life issues, I think he's been very vocal about some of those. I do share a few concerns about that, but on the other hand, we know where President Obama stands on these issues. He's pro-same-sex marriage, pro-abortion, and he's done many things since he's been president to limit our religious freedoms as Christians. So I don't think we're voting for the president's method of salvation. We're not voting about whether we agree with his method of salvation. We're voting on his leadership abilities and whether he shares our values and will lead and govern with those values in mind. So I do think it's very important for all Christians and all conservatives to get out to vote tomorrow. If we do not vote, then we have no right to complain about what happens as a result of this election. And the new polls that are out today are showing that the presidential race is a dead heat. And North Carolina is back to a dead heat. Florida is back to a dead heat. And so the lead that some people thought Mr. Romney had in those two states has dwindled to just dead even. And so it's up to people around the country to get out and vote to make sure that someone who shares their same values is elected as their next president.
Got it. Tammy, thanks again for the work you do and your contribution to the elections. And once more, the website people can go to in North Carolina.
It's ncvalues.org. And we have lots of resources. We're very active on Facebook and Twitter. So we're NC Values on both Facebook and Twitter, and I hope you'll join us.
All right, Tammy, God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Have a great day.
All right, you too. You know, friends, the real question is, are you upset with the way the government is going now? And do you have concerns about it? Do you have opinions about it? If so, how can you, how can you complain about what's wrong and then not vote? You say, well, because I don't see a viable solution. Well, I just remind you that your vote is a small part of your role as an American citizen. Your greater role, even transcending being an American citizen, is being a follower of Jesus. I'll say it again. You're going to be a broken record, friends. I'll say it again. What we must do, more important than anything else, is come into right relationship with God in our own hearts, our own lives. Put Jesus and the Great Commission first. Be disciples, live as disciples, and go make disciples. If we'll do that, America will be rocked in a very good way. Friends, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. We've got a terrific special Messianic Prophecy resource offer this week. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. Your voice, by God's grace, of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society and chaos in a church all too often in compromise, doing our best to sort out where we should be standing, what we should be thinking, what we should be feeling in these days leading up to the elections, really this day leading up to the election vote tomorrow. If you would like to interact with me about the elections, but again, I want to remind you, my focus is what should we be doing as followers of Jesus? How should we be responding as followers of Jesus? How should we be living out our faith as it relates to the elections? That's what my focus is going to be on. If you just want to rant against the president or rant against Governor Romney, that won't happen. However, we can have some very serious and deep and honest interaction. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. All right, I'm going to talk about something that sounds very trivial, but I'm going somewhere serious with it, all right? Have you ever, those that are into sports, you ever put on a game and it's not your home team, a team that you really follow or root for. It's another team out there. And you really don't know how you feel about this game. You don't really know which team you're rooting for. But when the game starts, you find yourself really rooting for one team against the other. It's like, wow, I didn't know. I guess I'd like this team better, or they're the underdog or whatever. You ever had that happen? Or just something that you think you're neutral about until it unfolds, maybe relationship with another person or something else. You think you're neutral about it till it unfolds, and then as it unfolds, you realize, wow, I'm passionate this way or that way. Well, I encourage you to do a little test. Maybe your thought is, hey, I'm not putting any stock in the coming election, and I'm not even voting because I don't believe in Obama's policies, and I don't agree with Romney because he's a Mormon. I'm just sitting this out. Oh, okay. What would happen if Mr. Romney was elected, or if Mr. Obama was reelected? How would it affect you? Think about it. It might be enlightening. I asked myself this question last night, and my educated guess, based on what I've read and how the polling's going and reading behind the polls, my educated guess is that Mitt Romney will be elected president with a sizable majority in the Electoral College. Now, of course, it could be totally wrong. I'm not saying I have prophetic insight on this. I'm simply saying that's my guess. It's my educated guess. Now, he might win narrowly. He might not win at all. He might lose handily. But my expectation has been that he'll win, and I'm already writing an article, if he does win, or probably put it out before he wins, why President Romney can't disappoint me. And it's not because I'm expecting everything from him. It's really because I'm expecting little and because I'm not putting my trust in a political savior. Then I asked myself the question, what if he lost? How would I feel? And I realized my feelings would be very different, even though I'm not putting my trust in him. And my attitude would then be on a very radical level that as the president may continue to go down the path he's gone, but even in a more free fall way, and all the more threaten our values and threaten our religious liberties and freedoms of conscience and speech and on and on. As that would unfold, yes, I believe that would happen. I pray against it, pray for him, but I believe that would happen. Then my attitude would be all the more we just absolutely put our emphasis on following Jesus and making disciples. In other words, we live almost as if we're living in an ancient Rome or something like that. And not even looking to the government in a friendly way, but more expecting there to be ongoing hostility from the government. And of course, we could vote to change it, but that would be the mindset over those next 4 years. How would your emotions be affected? Where would your attitude be if Mr. Romney wins? Would you say, okay, good, breathe easier because I'm a conservative, as if he's going to be the great game changer? Or if Mr. Obama's elected and you're... Where'd your emotions be? Where'd your attitude be? It's enlightening to think about that and then to give it prayerful consideration. Back with your calls.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. What matters more than the outcome of the elections is the outworking of God's eternal purposes in America and the nations. And if you think of it, America is nowhere near the biggest country in the world, perhaps still the most influential. But I mean, population-wise, if you think of every human being being precious to the Lord, well, you know, we're dwarfed by countries like India and China. And God is often looking at things different than we are. In other words, the world does not revolve around America as influential as we are. Oh, Michael Brown, thanks for being with us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As we continue to talk through kingdom perspective on the elections, with the focus being, what is God saying to us as followers of Jesus? Not so much about the elections themselves, but about our calling to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, which includes voting, but that's down the list of importance. 866-348-7884. Starting with Alan in Lithia, Florida. Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast.
Hey, God bless you, brother. I appreciate your program so much.
Thank you.
I've just spent the entire day on the phones for Mitt Romney campaign. I'm a Christian for a lot of years now. I've got three daughters, and it kind of gets to me how you're kind of saying we, you know, have a choice and so forth. I just want to bring in, and I know you've heard it before, but if we could really picture babies being slaughtered in this country, I'm related to one of the founding fathers, and I think these guys would be turning over in their grave. Christians need to realize what this campaign is all about. The next president is going to appoint two, possibly three, Supreme Court judges that serve for life. And it's just amazing to me that Christians are kind of rubbing their hands together on who to vote for. There's a clear choice here. I don't believe Mormons are going to heaven because they don't serve the Christ that I serve, but I believe this is a God-fearing man. He's sincere. He's sincerely wrong according to the Bible, but yet he's pro-life. And if people really would understand that in this country we're saving babies at 24 weeks gestation and throwing them in the dumpster at full term, if we ever saw an abortion, I don't think there'd be any question about what we should do as Christians.
Yeah, there's no question, Alan, that abortion on demand exists in America primarily because of the apathy of the church, and that there are not more opportunities for life and hope for the women who go to abort their babies. Now, many simply do it out of convenience, but there are many that do it in economic difficulty and thinking, hey, I can't afford to bring this kid in the world. And of course, they don't realize the horrors of abortion. They go ahead with it. There would be a whole different perspective if the church awakened to this. If one-tenth of the body in America awakened to the realities of abortion and got involved, abortion on demand in America would no longer be legal, and there would be hope for the babies to be adopted and placed in homes and families. Things would be radically transformed, and there'd be hope for the moms that decided to keep their babies and help and support from them. There are groups active in Charlotte here, Alan, that are involved from day one. They're at the abortion mill, and they are there compassionately, showing women that there's a better way and offering them hope. And then they walk them through the process. Those that have the child, they have baby showers for them. We get pictures of here's the mom and dad with the kid and the joy of it. And this kid could have been slaughtered in the womb. So because of that, I cannot vote for Mr. Obama, who has been the most radically pro-abortion president in our history. I am hopeful that Mitt Romney will truly be true life. People have challenged his past record. He dogmatically says he's always been pro-life. It's part of his own beliefs and values. I hope that will be true. I can't say I'm confident, but I do hope it will be true. 866-34-TRUTH. Eugene in Atlanta, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Good. I was calling last week. I heard you talk about you wanted to vote for Mitt Romney, and my concern with the body of Christ is that we have fallen asleep and being lulled into deception in involving ourselves with voting. If we believe, the Bible is written to believers, and the Lord tells us, he says, if my people who are called by my name, he's listening to the people who are called by his name, not the world. The world is going to want to kill babies. The world is going to want to do all the things that the world is doing, but we as Christians, we're missing the most powerful thing, and that's to pray and seek the Lord's face. And you mention it all the time, and there's a blessing about that. But the thing about it is, when I begin to say we need to vote for him or vote for him, it's like the children of Israel saying we want a king. God is the one for us.
Yeah. Eugene, let me just ask this question. You know, if you listen to the show regularly, where my whole emphasis is. And,
yes, sir.
And I wrote an article last week, we already have a viable third party, and that's the church rising up and living differently, and that's where emphasis has to be. And I've said that in terms of changing America, my vote in this election, in my top 10 priorities of changing America, my vote is about an 8 or 9 down the list, and my vote for Mr. Romney is with reservation and concern. So I'm not putting my trust in a political savior or party, but let's recognize, let's say that God used Abe Lincoln and the Republican Party that he was part of back then to overturn slavery in America and to pronounce the Emancipation Proclamation. God has ordained authority. He has not ordained one particular type of government, but he has ordained governmental authority. And in our society, we have a society where we can cast votes, and there may be a vote for someone who will save the lives of innocent children. There may be a vote for a politician who's going to fight against human trafficking. There may be a vote for a politician who will really help with aspects of justice in a city. And therefore, that's just part of what we do. You know, there's a checklist of everything that we're called to do as believers. Look, you work a job and you bring home money at the end of the day to pay the bills. And that's, you know, something we have to do. But your big thing is, hey, I'm going to change the world by going to my job as a computer programmer. No, I'm going to change the world by being a full-time disciple of Jesus 24/7 at my job, in my home, etc. But there are things we do in our society. One of them is vote. So when people ask about it, and we share about it, but I put the emphasis where it belongs. But to say I won't talk about it at all, or I won't vote at all because my emphasis is on prayer and living for Jesus, I don't find that to be a necessary choice I have to make.
Okay, let's look at it like this, Dr. Brown. When Jesus was walking the earth, the Italians, the Romans, were in charge.
Yep.
They were the rulers. Nobody voted Caesar in. Nobody voted Pilate in. But the will of the Lord was done. Jesus didn't have to cast a vote. He trusted the Father to get the job done, whatever means the Lord wanted to use. And see, what is happening is, I'm not telling Christians, if you believe that you have to vote, then vote. But what I'm saying is, we're getting caught up in saying, I got to vote because this election is going to mean everything. God's will is what we need to be about.
Right.
Not getting caught up in
Yeah, so Eugene, here's where I agree. We're not to be caught up in the thing. We are not to be caught up. I agree. However, the way our country was formed and the country we're part of, just like we pay tax, do you pay taxes? If you pay taxes, you are supporting the government. So in our society, we have the privilege of voting, all right? And if we don't vote, we're going to end up praying for a lot more things than we'd even need to pray for. It's faith and its work. So again, voting is not my big thing to change the world, but it's part of it. But we can respectfully differ on that. Let's major on where we do agree, my dear brother. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Ed in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Brother Michael.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah.
Go ahead.
For this last caller.
And, yes.
in his assessment of abortion and things that's going on right now in the culture.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and I agree with the fact that church is sleek to it, and they, you know, don't even care about babies being murdered, you know. With slavery, at least they had a value, but it just seems like these babies never had a value.
Yeah,
as a young
right.
Christian 20 years ago, I couldn't see how, living in America, a Christian nation, I felt like, I couldn't see how Roe v. Wade would have existed.
Yeah, it did. Hey, Ed, I just got to jump in. We've got a break. You know, there was a time when black Americans were hardly looked at as human beings. We're doing the same with babies in the womb. Sir, thank you for your call.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Got a note from Professor Doug Grodice, who's been on the air with us a couple of times. And he said, to my Christian readers, you are a child of heaven, but also a citizen of earth. You are to seek the welfare of the city to which you have been exiled, Jeremiah 29:7, and be salt and light in this broken world, Matthew 5:1-18. We are to render to state what is the state's, which is not everything, and to God what is God's, Matthew 22:15-23. We are to see the welfare of the least of these, Matthew 25:31-46. And he says 8 points here. I'll give you number one. Being apolitical is being apathetic. So being apolitical, meaning non-involved politically, is being apathetic about how God's world is governed in the civil sphere. Not everything is politics, but politics is crucial to our life together on God's earth. Some political views are closer to a biblical ethic than others. Therefore, he has 7 points that follow. 866-34-TRUTH. I may get to more of his points, but want to get your calls first. Steve in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Michael Brown. I just have a question about voting. It's my first election that I'll actually be able to vote for. And looking at the candidates between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, we know clearly that Barack Obama is against abortion, and Mitt Romney, according to what Paul Ryan said on the vice presidential debate, he said that they're not for abortions except for with exceptions. So wouldn't it be just as wrong to vote for him if it's not completely full out against abortion?
Yes, Stephen, it's a very important point that you raise, and I respect the fact that you're taking this first election so seriously that you're able to vote in. I could understand why someone says I have to vote for an independent candidate or not vote at all or just write in the name of Jesus or vote for other elections, you know, state elections, but not for the president because I don't have a clear choice. I'm sympathetic to that view. We know we cannot vote, from my perspective, for Mr. Obama. He is the most radically pro-abortion president we've ever had. And even 3 times as a senator, vetoed the partial birth abortion act, which would mean if a baby survives an abortion and is alive out of the womb, that the baby cannot be killed. He vetoed that 3 times, said it's more important that the woman has a right to abortion. However, he's also gone beyond that with what he's mandating with some of his health care policies. We appreciate the desire to get health care to every American. All the candidates agree on that. But unfortunately, Mr. Obama has put in place laws that would make it mandatory for Christian organizations, companies, hospitals to violate their own conscience and make various means of abortion available. So we know we couldn't vote for him, plus redefining marriage, saying that marriage can be the union of two men or two women. So those concerns alone would mean I can't vote for him. As far as the Romney-Ryan position, if you could go in the direction of defunding Planned Parenthood and stop them from killing of babies in the womb, especially in poor areas, in minority areas, that would be a massive step in the right direction. The exceptions that they talk about are about 1% of all abortions. So if we could go in the direction of ridding the country of legally performing 99% of the abortions, that's a massive step in the right direction. And Stephen, if you'll go back and look at history in the 1800s with the movement to outlaw slavery in England and then America, they wanted it all to change, but they knew they had to take steps to get there. So even though I would rather the candidate said no exceptions, to me it's much better to take big steps in the right direction and then work towards the full esteem for life. So that would be my perspective, that it would make such a massive difference and could potentially save many lives of the unborn, that I would therefore vote accordingly. But then I'd recognize also, sir, that the greatest change that's going to come with abortion is as the church gets more active. Some will come from the government, but most will come from the church getting more active. So hope that helps you, sir, and that you can vote your conscience, and welcome to the age of voting here.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, do I have time for one more call? Okay, Jacob in Philadelphia. Hey, have you been hit by Hurricane Sandy there?
But yeah. It wasn't that bad, though.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it. We had family on Long Island and others, you know, hit really bad in some parts of New York and New Jersey. Glad it wasn't too bad for you. Yes, sir, your question or comment?
My question is, why is it that are you, like, endorsing Romney? I know the abortion situation and the gay rights, but what is it that Romney said that is better than Obama? Because Romney been caught lying like four or five times, even once during the second debate.
Now, are you aware of how many times Barack Obama's been caught lying?
About what?
Oh, many things. Many things, including in the debates.
But
many.
But I'm talking about an outright lie.
Yes, outright lies. Absolutely, from Barack Obama. Outright lies. Are you aware that in 1996 that he put in writing that he supports a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman, and he would fight for that? And then when he was running for president, he lied and said, based on his beliefs in Jesus, marriage is the man of one man and one woman. He completely reversed his previous position and made it as if he never had. Oh, but many lies.
But you cannot stop another person from doing what they want to do. But my whole point is Mitt Romney.
Should we have any laws, sir? Jacob, should we have any laws? No, number one, I'm not looking to...
No, we should have laws. But if a gay person wants to do whatever they want, that's their right.
We should change the definition of marriage in the whole...
I'm not saying change marriage laws.
If they want to live together, they can live together. No one's stopping them.
But my whole point is, it's more going on in the economy than gay marriage. It's a lot more problems than we got going on in gay marriage.
Yeah, and you know what's fascinating? Yeah, what's fascinating, Jacob, is that Congressman Alan West and other black leaders in America have said that with Mr. Obama as president, the situation for black Americans economically has gotten much, much, much worse. But I could care less if Mitt Romney would be the world's greatest person for the economy and Barack Obama would be the world's greatest if their moral values are wrong. That's where I vote. So I'm voting for Mitt Romney with reservation and concern. There's not much enthusiasm, but I can't vote for Barack Obama. Otherwise, I feel I have blood on my hands. Hey, just being straight with you, and let's put following Jesus first and foremost. Got to run. Call back so we can talk some more. Friends, we've got a wonderful resource package this week on Messianic prophecy with a terrific book by Professor Michael Rudelnik, who will join me later in the week for Serious Students of the Word, a great book. Plus a CD of our radio interview, plus a two-set DVD of my debate with Rabbi Shmuley about the real kosher Jesus. $30 postage paid, but call today to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today: I know there are all kinds of passions. I know there's all types of agitation about the elections. God is on the throne. Get with him and act and vote accordingly.